Good morning. Good morning. It's Tuesday. I'll be here till noon and taking your phone calls at 508-996-05. And there's a lot of things going on we can talk about. But whatever you want to talk about is what I want to talk about. The government appears to be opening up. Keep in mind, 8 Democrats came over to join the Republicans. Therefore, logically, you have to understand it was the Democrats attempting to force a hunger strike by poor people all across the United States as leverage. So I know that they're trying to say it was Donald Trump and the Republicans, but guys, you're smart enough to know that can't be possible. If 8 Democrats, to include 3 from New England, the 2 U.S. senators in New Hampshire and 1 U.S. senator in Maine, flipped to the Republican side, and now the government's going to be open after some procedural stuff, that means it was the Democrats that were holding it up, trying to force many of you to go on a hunger strike. Outrageous, really outrageous. And not only that, they're trying to blame innocent people. The Republicans, Donald Trump. Really, really outrageous. These are the same people that try to tell you, and in some cases was successful at convincing you that Donald Trump was a Russian agent. I think of my friends in the local media, some in the state delegation, who still to this day believe that Donald Trump was a Russian agent. I mean, I feel bad for them to be that naive. But it's their political party. They believe him. And they got, well, it's a word I can't use, but mind blank. And to this day, it hangs in their conscience that Donald Trump is a Russian agent. Pretty sad, pretty sad. I want you to step into a craft beer time capsule. Rose Alley Ale House. They have an unwavering commitment to craft beer and incredible, delectable buffalo wings. Right? They can only be outmatched by Rose Alley's love of the city of New Bedford. Rose Alley Ale House, the number one reason people should visit New Bedford. And after you've crushed a beer or two, savored some bone-in or bone-out wings, or even ripped a couple of shots in the underground Sub Rosa bar with your friends, then and only then, check out a museum, shop local retailers, take a tour of the national park, or simply admire the neighborhood. Come see us, the great bartenders and waitresses and waiters, at Rose Alley Ale House. New Bedford's number one reason to visit the city. It's not just a bar. It's a New Bedford institution, Rose Alley Ale House. So it's kind of open phones. If it's on your mind, I want to hear about it. Here we go. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hi, Chris.
Hello. What's happening?
No, you are. hey, listen. Yes. I've been down that Rose Alley, and they had scallops. They were delicious. They gave you a nice portion, too. I wonder if they still have them.
I think they do, and the food is really great at Rose Alley.
That's the only thing I tried, and I liked it. And plus, they gave you a nice portion.
Yeah, they have good portions, and they're one of the few bars that has real Coors beer, which is an important beer to have, because it has a movie made about it.
Yeah, I didn't go over to that. I just sat at the table.
Yeah.
But anyways, Chris, is the Whaling Museum open today, do you know? Would you think it would be?
I think it would be. I think it would be. Why, you want to go down there?
I might. But it looks like it's getting kind of crappy out.
It was cold. I got to tell you, it was cold this morning. I woke up and said, where is that global warming I've been hearing about? It's freezing out.
Yeah, but it's supposed to be real cold on the other side of the country, right? I heard Chicago on Syndicate. I don't know what he was talking about. He said it's supposed to snow.
Yeah, I believe that's true. I think I heard that too. But I got to tell you the truth, Shawnee. I don't care about the rest of the country. I only care about my little corner, and it's freezing out there.
Yeah, but it might turn next week. You never know.
You don't know. It's New England. Wait a minute. The weather will change.
Yeah, we didn't have any snow for Christmas for a while.
And I kind of liked it. Thank you, Tim.
Yeah, but you know what I heard on the radio? Is this true? Trump said that the tariffs are doing so good that he's thinking about giving each American $2,000. Did you hear that when I heard that last night?
I have heard that. I heard it debated on some of the business channels by people who are favorable to Trump, backwards and forwards. So, yeah, I believe that the president is thinking about that. What do you think of that?
Yeah, let them. That's good. If they are really doing good, but I didn't think they were doing that great.
Oh, no, we're collecting trillions of dollars.
We're still in so much debt, though.
That's the thing. I got to tell you, my friend, that is my concern. I would rather see the money go towards a long-term plan to reduce the debt than just a sugar rush of passing out $2,000 to every person. And don't get me wrong, I could use $2,000, but I think the country would be better off putting it towards the debt. That's my opinion.
Right. But you know, he's funny because he's now he said, "Oh, we gotta get that money, those food stamps back or whatever it is. We gotta get that back now." But I don't know what's going on with that. What a mess!
Well, it was the Democrats were holding up the government, holding people on SNAP hostage, as well as federal employees, so they could fund health care for illegal aliens. That's really what they were up to.
So what's the outcome now?
Well, hopefully the Democrats will keep their word. The 8 Democrats will vote in the Senate to reopen the government, and then it'll go to the House, and hopefully the Democrats won't pull the same stunt in the House. But I really have no faith in the Democrats. I'm sorry.
Yeah, but what's the thing with the medical, Chris? What's the change there?
Well, I don't know exactly how it impacts Massachusetts because everybody's different. Every state is different. You know, we have our own type of system that was negotiated with Governor Romney and Senator Kennedy. Neither one are on the political scene anymore. One's not even with us anymore. So I'm really not sure. I couldn't speak with any authority on that.
Yeah, I'm wondering about that part of it. But he's funny, though.
Oh, it's hilarious.
But Maura Healey said that, I just heard this on your news, if he's going to mess with food on people's tables, we'll see him in court. Just keep spending your food stamps, she says.
Well, look, I think if people need the food and the money's available, they should use it. They're not going to do anything to you. Really, I don't think they will.
I don't even know if she gave everybody food stamps, how she did that, or did she? Because that guy called in your station, and he said only the people are getting it that get it in the beginning of the month. She's allotting it. So whatever, that wouldn't be fair to the rest of them. I don't know what the hell's going on. It changes from day to day. Who knows? All right, Chris.
Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Thank you, my friend. Have a good day. 508-996-0500. Guys, if you're having a problem, because the caller is correct, it seems crazy, okay? We had different stuff, conflicting information. Here's the thing. I care about you. I know you care about me. If you are worried about this, reach out to United Way. Reach out to Project Bread. do not go hungry. You do not have to go hungry. There are food pantries all over the place. There is no shame in it. If you become dependent for whatever reason on food stamps, SNAP benefits, you're an American. You're entitled to it. We take care of our fellow Americans. Here on Veterans Day, we take care of our fellow Americans. So reach out to the local food pantries, United Way, Project Bread seems to be a catch-all group that can get you help. Do not worry about it. This is America. We have a capitalist system, and we have an abundance of material for people. We do. An abundance of food. And to prove that, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, we here at WBSM want to help local families celebrate together with our Hunger Heroes food drop. For the 33rd year in a row, we'll be collecting food to benefit the United Way of Greater New Bedford's Hunger Heroes Project. This year, it means more than ever, with the uncertainty of where some of the South Coast families will get their next meal, we want to give them a great Thanksgiving meal. So join us at Aldi's in Dartmouth on Saturday, November 15th, from 10 a.m. to noon, to donate the necessary Thanksgiving items. You can find all the details at WBSM.com. Hunger Heroes Food Drop is made possible by our friends at First Citizens Federal Credit Union, Aaron Pools and Spa, Carefree Homes, and Goulart Square Bakery. See you at Aldi in Dartmouth on Saturday, November 15th. We'll take a break and then we'll be right back. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
Welcome back to the program here on Veterans Day. A lot of people don't know that Axl Rose was a tanker, served in the tank division. I think he was in Germany. I don't believe he was ever in combat, but he is a veteran. Axl Rose, the lead singer of Guns N' Roses. You know, for over 50 years, Bass Ready Rooter has been the trusted name in drain cleaning and septic maintenance all across New Bedford, Fall River, Dartmouth, Fairhaven, everywhere. From emergency clogs to hydro jetting and camera inspections, our expert team delivers solutions the right way with honesty and respect. That's why neighbors and plumbers alike recommend us. With more than 700 five-star Google reviews, Bass Ready Rooter, the underground sewer pipe, is the most underrated utility, and we've got your home. Call 508-995-8012 or visit bassready.com. It's kind of open phones. If it's on your minds, I want to hear about it. It's Veterans Day. We're going to go to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hoorah.
Hoorah. 82nd Airborne, right?
That's right. Thank you for your service.
Thank you, sir.
I wanted to talk about the jail. Remember when the Healy situation, when the guy with the drugs?
Yeah, go ahead.
And we were talking about that, and I said to you, just goes to show you. You know, now they have this big ordeal that just happened right here in the sheriff's department. Yeah, I mean, look, you have a lady that's what? She was a librarian or something like to that effect?
Yes.
And doing what they're doing. My point is that you really can't blame the administration for when people do stuff. I mean, humans are humans, and you vet them, you hire them, and if they do something really stupid, I don't think that, you know, unless you don't vet them correctly,
yeah,
you shouldn't be held accountable, right?
So I think the difference between what happened to Sheriff Haru with this woman, who, again, everybody's innocent until proven guilty, but allegedly bringing drugs into the Bristol County House of Correction, is that he vetted her. She had no criminal record. The difference is the guy out in Western Mass who allegedly brought cocaine to the state house, he had been in trouble for shooting somebody. And he was vetted, and they hired him anyway, gave him that big high position in her administration. So I think that Sheriff Haru's case is really different than the governor's case. But I get your point.
Yeah, you do have a point there. But, and you're absolutely right. But initially, you, me, and nobody knew that he had that ass. When it first broke, it took, I don't know, a week or two before they found out that he had that incident that happened, you know, whatever time ago. But in the beginning, you know, people were kind of like putting it on her. And I was saying to you, I go, I don't know how anybody can get by, you know, being vetted in something like that. You don't see in your background when you do a Corey.
Right.
I mean, when you go get your gun license.
Yes.
You know, they do a deep dive on you. And if you had did something 20 years ago, they know about it.
Yeah. Like shooting somebody.
Yeah, like even if it was like, I know a guy that it was like 20 years ago, he had a drinking and driving thing. And he got disqualified because it was 20 years ago.
There was a guy in Fairhaven who had been arrested as a kid stealing chickens. And he had been an upstanding citizen. And the chief of police, Mike Myers, went and testified on the guy's behalf, but he lost his gun license because he'd been arrested when he was a kid and incarcerated, I think, you know, like in a correctional thing for kids. Right. So, yeah, no, I don't know how the guy in the governor's office got cleared for such a high-level employment, having been arrested and involved in a shooting. I don't.
Hey, you know, something else, now that you're saying that, I know a gentleman that has a drinking and driving, one offense, and he has a pistol permit, and I don't understand why they never took his. He still has it up until right now. I mean, it's, I don't know, sometimes people fall between the cracks.
Yes.
You know, I know in different states it's different. Like if you was in Florida or some of these real, real red states where you could practically have like two felonies and still get a gun license.
Right.
But Massachusetts is pretty tough.
Oh, Massachusetts is really tough.
Yeah, if you have a felony or something, even if it's 10 years ago, they will deny you. You know? So,
yeah.
I don't know. It's kind of weird. It's kind of crazy. But that, I don't know. I guess that's why I called you.
Yeah, no, I appreciate
about
that.
It. Hey, anyway.
I do appreciate it. Thank you, my friend. Thanks for the call. Always good to hear from him. Look. For those of you who don't know, Sheriff Paul Haru hired a woman. Again, she's innocent until proven guilty. And you can read all about it at WBSM.com. But the allegations are she was smuggling synthetic marijuana into the Bristol County House of Correction in Dartmouth. And she'd done it multiple times. That's the allegation. Now, let me tell you my little role in that story. All right. For those of you who were listening on Friday when the sheriff came, he acknowledged it, that I had this story weeks ago. I have good sources. And, but I'm not, how do I put it? I don't want to make trouble where it doesn't need to be made. So I got a call that told me someone had been walked off the premises for smuggling contraband into the jail, likely drugs. And I had a name. I had the name. The name is the name Ginger Hook, who is a woman who was indicted for smuggling contraband into the jail. But I reached out to the sheriff. I know the sheriff. You know that. He's here all the time. I reached out to the sheriff and said, here's what I'm hearing. And he asked me, can you keep it close to the vest? She's going to be indicted and all that stuff, but there's a lot of things in motion right now. And I have no problem with that. I'd rather do the right thing by everybody, right? Particularly for the families of inmates, many of whom are in my audience, right? Many parents of inmates and many inmates are in my audience as well. And anything like that makes people upset, makes them nervous. My son or daughter being given access to illegal drugs in the jail where I thought they were safe, all of that stuff. And so because I thought it was being handled properly and I knew it was being handled properly, and the sheriff acknowledged that when he was here on Friday, that I kept the cards close to my vest. It was no good for me to just blurt it out on the air and tell you what was going on, that there was indictments coming, all that. He was working closely with the district attorney's office. And I also read between the lines that it was an ongoing investigation, right? And so didn't probably do any good for care and custody of the inmates or for law and order for me to come to the airwaves and blurt it out. All right. So in the interest of law and order, care and custody of the inmates, I kept my mouth shut knowing that the legal process was going to play out. And it has. And there was a press conference yesterday. I have a little clip of it I can play, but we got some number of people on hold. So, but I do just want to let you in. Many of you were listening Friday, heard the sheriff acknowledge that. That I had, you know, played by the rules, and not everybody does that. And there are other journalists who might disagree with me. That's all right. Me, I'd rather be right than be first. I knew I had the story, and I knew it would come out eventually. And that's just my way of doing things. Other people do things differently, and that's certainly okay as well. All right, let's go to the phone. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Good morning, my fellow veteran.
How you doing, my friend?
Okay. I praise all the veterans today that stepped up to the plate, done their duty for the country.
Yes.
And sometimes I think these same guys will still step up to the plate if they're called. But you have a lot of, seems like young people, they wouldn't step up. It's a shame, you know, to watch some of these young people, the way they're conducting themselves. They hate the country so much.
You know, I'll tell you what. My dad, remember my dad's passed away a long time ago now, but telling me a story. He was out at Appaniquit as an administrator, about a young man who'd caused a lot of trouble at Appaniquit. Not with my dad, but with one of the other administrators. And the guy joined the Marines for whatever reason. And when he came home from the Marines, he was an entirely different person. He was in the Marine Corps uniform, and he showed up at Appaniquit High School to apologize to the other administrator at Appaniquit, Mr. Powers. He and my dad had never really had conflicts. And my dad thought, you know, that was a stand-up thing. But I'll tell you the other thing about that story. There were two brothers. One went in the Marine Corps. The other was murdered, involving narcotics, still unsolved murder. So a lot of young people turn their lives around with the military, and it's a great opportunity. And I wish more of them understood that, but that's where we are.
Yes, I wish more would go into the military, because in my lifetime, I worked with veterans. you actually, after a while being around them, you can tell if they had some military training. Mm-hmm. It's just that they have good relationships with people, and they have a good working ethic about them, most of them. About the money that they're talking about, people are going to get a check.
Yes.
Of $2,000. Well, they wouldn't be talking about it if it, I think it'll probably be coming true. They wouldn't be talking about it. I wonder if the people that didn't vote for Trump or hate MAGA people are going to take it.
Well,
they're going to refuse it. What do you think?
You know, I would imagine they'll take it. You know, I mean, a lot of people that didn't vote for, say, Obamacare, but do in some way benefit from it. Other ways like that. But look, Donald Trump, how do you feel about that? I mean, look, we all could use $2,000, no doubt about it. But I might rather see the money go towards paying down the national deficit. But that's just me. you know, I mean, I probably when push comes to shove, if they mail me the check, I'll cash it. but I do think it might be better off if we put it towards, at least partially towards the national debt. What say you?
I think you'll be in a minority because the money, people do need money today. And besides, they'll spend it. That'll help the economy.
Yeah. No, or you could spend some of it, save some of it, whatever. But it is a possibility. I don't know if it'll... if it'll come to fruition completely, I would think you'd need some input from Congress, right?
I don't know. He is the president, and I wouldn't know. I think because he's the president, he probably can do it. I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure either, my friend. Hey, thank you. Thank you for your service as well. Again, I always like just pointing out, I was never in combat, and 6 years, Department of Defense didn't need me, but I was there, ready to go. But I was like, maybe that's just me, but I like to make a distinction between people who were ready to go to combat and the people who actually did go to combat, because that's a major distinction. I know that. It's a major distinction. Anyway, I see you on hold, but I do have to take a break. Good morning. I'm Chris McCarthy. It's Veterans Day. Take a break. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call
508-996-0500. Welcome back to the program. You know, upgrading your home's energy efficiency can really feel overwhelming. But with C2S Energy, you don't have to go it alone. Their certified experts handle everything from assessing your home to recommending the right solutions. Whether it's insulation, windows, roofing, or high-efficiency heat pumps, they even navigate the rebate process for you, making it simple to qualify for savings up to $16,000. Trust the team that knows the programs, the products, and how to maximize your comfort and savings. Visit C2SEnergy.com and let C2S Energy do the heavy lifting. We've got people on hold. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thank you for holding.
Hello, my friend. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I don't know. I think I got yellow toe fungus and I fell from a ladder.
Watch out for those ladders. I love that ad, though.
Well, yeah, I know you have to. I understand.
No, look, when the guy says, Were you up on a ladder? Well, I was.
he's been up there for a long time. But what I want to get to is, you know, I listen to you so I can get the inside scoop because I know your sources are better than my sources and all that. So I wish I don't have any sources. It's just, you know, the knowledge of living for a while. But, hey, come on. You know that person out there in Western Mass and Ginger Hook? You know how they got their job, right? They had a compadre, like I tell you. It was a compadre. Somebody called somebody and said, I got somebody that needs a job. And they've applied and said, okay, yeah, we'll put them in. That's the case in Western Mass, and that's the case over here with Ginger Hook. Now tell me, if you were hiring somebody and she came across your desk with the name Ginger Hook, I think I'd be looking to see her at the hangars out in a cushion 8 years ago.
Well, here's the thing. I know that it was not a holdover. Tom Hodgson didn't hire Ginger Hook.
Tom's long away from this. I laugh with Hero, how he's trying to make this into a hero, that this is the biggest thing that's ever been done, like it's a good thing. You should be downplaying the thing. But that's another story. Go ahead, talk. I want to talk to you.
So the New Bedford Light has a story on it. Her husband also worked at the jail. He was hired under Paul Sheriff Haru as well. He's resigned, I understand, from the New Bedford Light. I don't think he had anything to do with this, but we don't know. This is big conspiracy. A number of people.
Again, these people, whether it's the guy in the Western Mass and the Democrats, or whether it's a Democrat here with Ginger Hook, okay, they got the job because they knew somebody. Let's face it. That's how they got the job. And so that's why they're there. But I didn't want to talk about that.
Okay,
I thought of you right away the other day because I have to walk by a headline of the Standard Times in a store, and I saw that the mayor, your compadre, okay, has a 10-point plan for the city of New Bedford. So I guess that clears up that he's going to be here for a long time, or a 10-year plan. I'm sorry, 10-year plan.
Yes.
So that's even better than the communists who only want a 5-year plan.
I think the mayor is...
He's staying.
Staying.
When I saw that headline, I thought of you right away, and I said, I'll bet that means that the mayor's sticking around, and he's not leaving. But he's playing his cards close to his fist, but that was a dead giveaway, that he's got a 10-year plan. I don't know, maybe they'll change the mayor's term to 10 years.
I think that... Look, when you hear Burgo is running for mayor...
He may win.
You think he could beat John Mitchell?
He may win. He's got a base. And you gave it to him, my friend.
Oh, come on. I didn't give it to him. The Coalition for Social Justice gave it to him.
Again, you know, as long as you're being talked about, Donald Trump taught everybody that. People are going to, you know about you, that sort of thing. But again, I can reduce the mayor's 10-year plan down to 1 year. Simplify it. A lot of taxes. Hey, by the way, one other thing. I know you've let me go on for a while here. Where's Ferris?
I do not know. I could text him.
Is he sick or something?
I do not know.
Oh, gee. Okay.
I could text him. You know, when it gets cold, he gets out of our
Oh, he goes down south?
Yeah, but we're all
over the world now because of the digital world and all that sort of stuff and everything.
He could be haunting other radio stations. I told you, he's like the most often heard caller broadcaster in America. That's true.
Yes, that's true. Well, okay, thank you for letting me have my say today. And remember the 10-year plan, higher taxes.
Thank you, my friend. 508-996-0500 so I can get on the air this morning. Yeah, the mayor, I don't believe that the mayor is going to leave, retire, or whatever you call it. I think that he's happy being the mayor. He's got a lot of things he's done, things he wants to continue doing. And that's the way it is. I mean, I don't see anybody on the political horizon that I would trust running the government of New Bedford over John Mitchell. I really don't. I have my disagreements with the mayor. That's true. I thought the making a formerly illegal alien someone with a green card a police officer, I thought was outrageous. I did, and I expressed that to him, and I've expressed it to you. And but that's the way it is, right? But when you look at the likes of Shane Burgo and other people on the city council taking over for John Mitchell, I first of all, none of them could beat him. I don't see anybody on that city council that could beat the mayor. Maybe I'm wrong. But first of all, you got to declare yourself a candidate. You got to have the balls to run. And I don't see anybody on that council with the... Burgo's trying to tell my co-host, right, Tim Weisberg, that he's not thinking about running. He was telling people the night of the election that he was running. The election for mayor has started. So anyway, I see you on hold, but I got to take a break. Good morning. I'm Chris McCarthy. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. You're the audience.